ARUP Institute for Learning presents Insight,
Education,
Leader,
Pain Management,
Technology,
Experiment,
Esoterization,
Informatics,
Body Research,
Excellent.
Laboratory Medicine.
Join us as we delve into emerging topics presented by ARUP medical directors who are faculty in the Department of Pathology, School of Medicine, and other highly qualified expert contributors. In this concluding segment, Dr. Adler and Dr. Witt give advice on how to improve a fixed approach.
But I mean, I think just to flip it over, I mean, again, I'm a cheerleader for this idea, but I don't want to oversell it. And for example, I don't want people listening to this who are at places doing a fixed approach to feel like we're saying what they're doing is wrong or bad. And we published a paper, Ben and I, with Bob Schmidt, one of our other pathologists here at the University of Utah in 2013, where we showed that, you know, two things I think are worth mentioning. One is that ROSE is most likely to help in situations where the endosonographer's yield is low, meaning if your yield is low going into the process, having a pathologist there is most likely to help and bring up your yield. But if your yield is really high, maybe there's only so much more that you could be brought up. And the other side of the coin is you can tweak a fixed approach. Now, again, I'm sure in pathology, just like in everywhere else in medicine, you know, it's go, 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 get as much done as you can in a day. And we said earlier that taking passes takes time. In a given day, the average, you know, GI doc has got 10 procedures, 4 consults, and 3 clinic patients to go see. So they're trying to go quickly and efficiently. But you can sort of, to some extent, you know, improve the value of a fixed approach. And I think we showed in that paper that if you did about 6 passes, which is, again, that's a big time commitment, but if you do 6 passes, your yield approaches that of ROSE, meaning you can basically say like, well, look, I don't have a pathologist here with me, but I can compensate for that by taking a ton of specimen so that after the fact, when they're looking at a later date and time and in a different place, they'll never have to come to me and say, hey, you didn't get an adequate sample.
In our study, it was looking at adequacy, and a fixed method with 6 passes, you can become equitable in terms of diagnostic adequacy with ROSE doing that fixed method. The thing that is good to keep in mind, though, is for definitive diagnoses that are not your more commonplace. So for instance, in pancreas, if it's not an adenocarcinoma, you lose some of the definitive diagnosis ability with a fixed method because usually they're just putting the specimen into cytolite, which then I can't do any ancillary studies on. So I can't be definitive about calling or subtyping a lymphoma on a fixed method. I can't be definitive on calling a neuroendocrine carcinoma on a fixed method. I can tell you malignant cells are present, though. So I believe it, even though you can rival the adequacy, I think you lose a bit of the diagnostic value from a patient perspective because they're probably, in those less common instances, going to need a repeat procedure.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, I think, why an institution might not have rapid on-site evaluation. I mean, one is staffing. I mean, we have – how many cytologists do we have here? 5, 6? I mean, we have a lot. So, you know, we are fortunate enough, and we have cytology fellows, and we have residents on the service. Like, we have a lot of bodies floating around the hospital that when we dial the FNA pager, somebody answers, and – people come running. If you're at a smaller place where maybe they have 2 cytologists who may not be located at the same place and maybe they're off-site, they physically cannot do it. Like they just can't. So even when I was an endoscopic ultrasound fellow, I mean, again, that was at a big hospital as part of the Harvard Medical School system. A lot of manpower, but they wouldn't do ROSE for us then. I mean, I don't know what they do now, but then we had, you know, a cytotech if we were lucky, and usually we didn't get that. I can tell you from an EUS point of view, I can't imagine an endosonographer wouldn't want a pathologist standing at their side giving them helpful information.
And I can't imagine being a pathologist not wanting the ability to interact with the clinician to help you from a diagnostic standpoint.
So, right, or ask for more tissue
or
whatever.
More tissue. What it really comes down to is the resources and relationships to be able to put something like this into place. And if those aren't there, then it can be an unlikelihood for an institution. If the ROSE model isn't something that's going to be available for you and your group or your institution, and you are a pathologist there, I think it's still important to keep open lines of communication with your practitioners. And in the case of a gastroenterologist who does U.S. guided pancreatic FNAs, and you're getting specimens and you think that you could get some different preparations, that's your job to guide them, give them the different solutions up front, whether it's cytolite or if you prefer, you know, even formalin fixation, if you think that preservative is more optimal for you. It sounds aggressive, but I think training one of the endoscopy techs or two of them to make smears and just revisiting that on a maybe monthly or, you know, semi-annual basis, whatever it may be.
Well, I can give advice to the EUS person. And I think, and some of this is easy to say and hard to do, is one is you have to recognize that you're not perfect and you're going to have a false sense of completeness. There's a quality revolution sweeping GI. And I imagine a lot of people now are being asked for the first time to really look at their outcomes. And for example, all across the spectrum of endoscopy, there's a lot of national guidelines being put out, some of which I've written on these quality topics, that are really saying to people, hey, you need to look at your outcomes, because if you don't, insurers will, and you want to be ahead of the curve and know that you're doing what you need to do to be considered a high quality endoscopist and high quality gastroenterologist. But again, you know, it's hard because it requires reflexiveness. You've got to look back on your own practice, see what you're good at, see what you're bad at, and recognize that you're not going to be great at everything and change process where you're bad. And that process could be changing the way you do stuff or enlisting the help of others around you, i.e. a cytopathologist, to come to your procedures.
If you have any ability to optimize your specimens and you don't do it, you're just going to make your job more difficult. And it's certainly true that every call you make to try to get a different specimen type or method isn't always going to be heard with acceptance, but they're going for a diagnostic sample too, just the same as you are. So you're united in that cause, and I think it's important to remember that.
Not to sound holier than thou about stuff, but I think it's important to remember that Ben and I are both physicians, meaning I'm not just a technician to stick a needle in a tumor and get, you know, something on a glass slide. And Ben is not just a technician to read it and tell it to me. At the end of the day, we're two physicians who are jointly involved in the patient's care. Like, neither of us is just a doc in a box. You know, the last thing I would say is, you know, to take the 10,000 foot view, you know, I mean, I probably diagnose 500 people a year with cancer. I mean, I'm a gastroenterologist who works at a large tertiary referral cancer center. And you know, for us, like, we walk in the morning, we look at the board, okay, 3 pancreatic biopsies, blah, blah, blah. But for the patient, this is, you know, this is the thunderbolt. You know, this is, they're lying on a table, they're terrified, like, they know that they're probably going to get bad news out of this whole thing. So, like, I think it's easy to sort of fix it on the technical aspects of the job. You know, I'm looking at a black and white endoscopic ultrasound image. Ben is looking at a glass slide. But you got to remember, and again, it's hard. It's hard in a high volume environment. But you have to remember that, like, it's actually a person getting a diagnosis at the end of this whole thing that's going to change the rest of their life.